Today the reading is from Romans 8, 18 through 30. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies, for in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is not hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he has also glorified. The word of God for the people of God.
All right, well, I am our preacher for today. It's a little funny because it doesn't super feel like preaching. You know, I'm sitting here by the fireplace, talking to a phone. And so I changed my sermon up a little bit. I at first was going to be a little bit more academic about it, you know, kind of doing some more exposition. But I felt like I wanted to go a little bit simpler and just make it a little bit more about just a little bit more personal and a little bit more, since I'm in a living room, kind of feeling like a conversation just between one person to another. And so I know it's one person to a lot of you on there, but without further ado, though, let's get started. So in the past several weeks, we've talked about how grace is greater than our mistakes, grace is greater than our hurts, and grace is greater than our limitations. And one thing I really enjoyed about this sermon series is how relatable each of the sermons has been. Like, who of us has not had hurts, been hurt by other people, who has not made mistakes, who doesn't have limitations, right? That's something that we all have, something we all struggle with and deal with. And I've just really enjoyed hearing each of the preachers sharing from their own lives. And this week is not going to be any different. We're talking about how grace is greater than our circumstances. And all of us have circumstances at all times, right? Some of them harder than others. And so my hope today is that we can, that I can share some of the circumstances that I've been in and that I'm currently in, and that we will be able to sort of bring some of those things to light, because often we hide our circumstances, and but I think it's better that we talk about them. So before we start, though, I want to take a moment for us to sort of personally take stock of our circumstances. You can close your eyes, you can keep them open, and just think about what is going on in our world. What are the things, not just like in our big world that we share, but in our own sort of smaller worlds. There's some things that we have in common, like we're snowed in, we've been impacted by COVID, many of us have had to stay home from work or school, and many of us have felt isolated. That is something, circumstances that we all are in right now. And some of our circumstances are individual. And I know that we all have lots of different circumstances. I'd like to take some time to share about myself and Andrew. Andrew and I have been going through some circumstances that have been really challenging for us. Many of you know that we've been trying to have kids for a year and a half and have been having problems with infertility. And on Christmas Day, we received news that we might never be able to have children, which was really devastating when we first heard the news. Past 2 months have been full of medical tests and appointments, unanswered questions, anxiety, grief, anguish. I did not ask for these circumstances, and I never imagined that I would experience this one day. I have wanted to be a mom for pretty much as long as I can remember. I've always wanted to do a lot of things. You know, I remember being young, wanting to be a veterinarian or a zookeeper or a fashion designer, and then kind of settling on the things that I really wanted to do, which was be a pastor and a teacher and a performer. But through it all, I always knew that I wanted to be a mom. And so this has been a really tough time. And I know that so many of you have similarly been in circumstances that felt unbearable. And maybe you're going through that right now like I am. And I don't want us, in sharing this, I don't want there to be comparison or for, I don't want you to like look at what I'm going through and be like, oh, but I'm not going through that. And similarly, I don't want you to be, maybe if you're going through circumstances that are really, really challenging, I don't necessarily want you to look at me and be like, oh, well, you have no idea, you know, what I'm going through, right? We all have different circumstances and we don't need to compare them. Because what I want to get at here in my story is that none of us can really bear these circumstances alone. None of us are strong enough to be able to kind of hold these. When we first got that bad test result, the first one, I was in shock. And I'm sure you've probably been in a state of shock at some point in your life. And I remember just thinking, like, there's no way that this could be true. This can't be true. As it began to sink in, the weight of the reality that I may never bear children was so incredibly heavy. I felt like I was physically not strong enough to carry it. And I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but I felt like either this burden has to be lifted for me or like I'm literally gonna die. Like there's just no way that I can go on living with this sort of weight. Now obviously I did, you know, I've made it through. And it's not like I was wanting to, it's not that I wanted to die, but I just felt like there's no possible way, like this is gonna take me out. There's no possible way that I can carry this burden. I felt like I could not carry the weight of my own circumstances. And I'll admit to you, in the last 2 months, I haven't really coped with these circumstances in a really healthy or spiritual way all of the time. I have not brought my troubles before the Lord every morning, and just to be honest, I've probably even done my devotions less often than I typically have. I've stayed up later than is healthy for me, dreading going to bed because I have a hard enough time sleeping as it is without, you know, my mind not being able to stop being active. And I've played more Animal Crossing, which is a new video game that I have. Played it more than I sort of care to admit because I wanted the distraction. I had one particular experience where I was packing for a trip. Andrew and I were going on a trip with his parents, and I couldn't find my snow pants anywhere. And it was like, that was just too much. The fact that I could not find my snow pants, like, was the, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back. And I couldn't cope with it. And I just remember lying on the bed, feeling just sort of paralyzed, and just hoping that I wasn't gonna have a panic attack about this snow pants. I mean, it was obviously about more than the snow pants, but I was clearly not strong enough to carry the burden of my circumstances on my own. And I'm not particularly proud of how I've coped with my circumstances. You know, I don't say this to boast, because I don't think it's something to boast about. But I think of Paul saying, you know, I boast in my weaknesses. Because one thing I feel that I've been able to see is that I'm clearly not capable of bearing these circumstances on my own. I don't feel like I've been particularly close to God, and I've struggled to feel a sense of peace beyond all understanding. And I'm convinced that I cannot make it through my circumstances on my own. And I've proven to myself that I can't really handle or control my circumstances. I know that I need grace. I need grace to get through this time in my life. And I say all this as me, but you know, this is something that Andrew and I both share. It's not like I'm alone in this. And the amazing thing is, despite my inability to cope, God's grace has been lavished on me. And I don't just say that because, like, it's the right Christian thing to say, but I really feel that I have been given so much. I've spoken honestly with you about the pain of my circumstances, which we are sometimes afraid to do, especially as Christians. Like, we feel like we can't face them or own them, or we feel like we're a bad Christian. Like, we don't want to admit it, because we should have peace, right? And we should just trust in God, and we shouldn't be feeling burdened or like we shouldn't feel unable to cope with our circumstances. But it's good and necessary even for us to speak honestly about them. But I would be wrong to only be honest about the pain, because the truth is, there is more than just the pain. And I want to give you some examples of how God's grace, how I felt God's grace in this time. And the first one is, in the grace that Andrew has had for me is more than I could ever ask for. This is the part where I'm going to start crying, just because I love him so much. It's Valentine's Day, right? So it's a good thing. He's often set aside his own stress and disappointment to comfort me. And we found a new sweetness in our marriage. The compassion and grace we have offered each other and experienced has deepened our relationship. I know that we are for each other. And even though sometimes we're frustrated because we feel misunderstood or there's miscommunication, I haven't felt like we've been bitter, petty, or unjust with each other. And that's because of the grace of God. I know that Andrew will have my back, and I know my good is one of his highest priorities. And I'm so unbelievably thankful that God drew our paths together. And I couldn't ask for a better man to be married to. God has also lavished grace on me through the developing and deepening of friendships. For a long time, I've struggled with friendships. I've always felt like it was hard for me to like completely be myself and to feel really comfortable being myself around other people, especially friends. And I just knew that I needed friends. I knew I needed strong friends that were girls, that were my age. And a year and a half ago, I started working at Trinity Academy, and immediately I saw some teachers that were my age that I thought, oh man, I really want to be friends with them. I feel like we could be really good friends. And earlier in the school year, in the fall, I opened up to them about struggling with fertility, and I was just honest with them, and I said, hey, I need some friends, and I would like to be friends with you. And I have just experienced just incredible love and support from those friendships. And I feel really strongly that the Holy Spirit brought us together, and I can't imagine where I would be today without those friends. So I'm really, really thankful. And I just know that it was God answering that prayer for me. And I think it's like providential, the timing. I knew I needed friends, and God like opened that door for me before I even knew that I would be struggling with this, really, that I would be in the circumstances I am now. And he prepared those relationships so that when I got to this point, I could be honest with them, and they would pray for me and support me and encourage me and just love me in a way that I've never felt before from friendships. I've just never felt this sort of flourishing in my relationships ever before in my life. And finally, I've been blessed with the support of my family, both my blood family and Andrew's family. The moment we got the news, I knew I had to talk to my parents. There was just this sort of compulsion, like, I have to share this with them. And it's because they're the people that I feel safest with, and the people that that love me and are there for me no matter what. My parents listened to me cry and created space for me to share my pain with them. My family has constantly provided prayer, encouragement, and companionship. And I haven't even mentioned all the grace that the Lord pours on me and all of us every day, those sort of universal graces. I have wonderful pets. I have a house. I have wonderful jobs, health, the ability to pay the bills and groceries, a car, even the very air I breathe. And my life I owe to the grace and power of God. My very being I owe to Him as His creation. My circumstances and God's grace are both very real. I don't believe that God has inflicted infertility on us. I don't think that He has done this to punish us or to draw us closer to Himself. Like, I don't think He's inflicted this on us. I think He wants us, and His desire for us is to have children. I believe that our infertility is a result of brokenness and the decay of the natural world. But I do believe that God can do good amidst the suffering. I have seen how my relationships have flourished during this time, more than any other period of my life. I see the meaningful work that I'm doing, and I delight in it. I have been given fresh vision and ideas during this time. As I have become more aware of my own lack of control, I have experienced a deepening trust in God and trust in others. So I've seen the good work that God has done, even though I don't think he inflicted this, but I see how He is still present and still good to me, even in the midst of the suffering. We often talk about suffering and joy as if they can't be experienced at the same time. But we can experience them together, and we do experience them together. In the last 2 months, I have had some of the greatest pain and some of the greatest joy and feelings of being known and loved in the past 2 months in the same circumstances. Suffering and joy, hope and grief can coexist. And I believe that God can bless Andrew and I with children while also acknowledging that the future is uncertain, and that as long as we live, we may never have children. I can accept both of those things. I also believe that God can take my circumstances and transform them into something good. To be honest, I have a really hard time seeing how my circumstances could ever bear good fruit. But then I think of the disciples of Jesus. Their worlds came crashing down when Jesus was crucified. Everything that they thought was true and like the hope of humanity was suddenly taken away from them. And they were totally lost, and I'm sure there was so much grieving and just so much like, how could this be happening? How could this be reality? But then God took the singular most worst event in their lives and brought it and changed it and transformed it into the singular best event in the history of mankind. And if He can do that with Jesus' death, I know that He can work my circumstances for good. I also think of Mary, Elizabeth, Hannah, and Sarai, all biblical examples of women, of families, women, men and women, couples who were not able to have children, and God blessed them with children. And so I know that He can change our circumstances and transform them into something good and into something beautiful, even if I can't see what that's going to be like yet. And I'm also reminded that every circumstance here on earth will pale in comparison to the life that is to come. I know that in the age to come, every tear will be wiped away. And that hope of that future, the assurance of that I have of that future because of the grace of God poured out in Jesus through the cross, that provides me with hope and peace in this age, even if I don't always feel it. So I will choose to believe that God's grace is greater than my circumstances. I certainly can't cope with my own circumstances. But I will continue to trust that God loves me and is good to me. I will acknowledge my painful circumstances to myself, to God, and to others. I will share my burdens. I will also look for the good and the grace poured out on me. And I will share my blessings and bear that witness to the world. May we all do so with the grace of God. We're going to take communion now. And like I said, one of the greatest graces that has ever been poured out on us is the grace of God poured out through Jesus on the cross and through his, this is a good time to go get some communion, by the way, whatever you have in your house. God's grace has been poured out on us, and my circumstances feel really big and really hard and really unbearable right now. But because of God's grace, because of what he did on the cross, every tear will be wiped away. And as we take communion together, I want you to think of your own circumstances. And I want this to be a commitment to, as we take the juice and the bread, I want you to commit to seeing God's grace. Like me, you might not feel it every moment of every day. You might not cope with it perfectly or spiritually, you know, in every moment. But I'm committed to seeing the goodness and the grace that God is pouring out on me. And I'm committing to bearing witness to that grace to the world. Let's take the juice together. Normally we do the bread first. That's okay. God has grace. And in the same way, let's eat the bread together. Heavenly Father, we need your grace. I can't carry this burden myself. I need you. I need your grace. Thank you for the grace that you've poured out on me through Andrew, through my friends, through my family, and through Jesus. Help me to never take those things for granted. Help me to cling to that faith and that hope and that assurance, no matter what circumstances I may go through. Help all of us to cling to that grace, to not lose sight of the grace that you lavish upon us and for the hope that we have in the future age to come. Help us to not sort of selfishly turn inward and just to sort of wallow and to isolate ourselves from others. Help us to be grateful. Help us to acknowledge the grace that we have received. And we just confess that we need you. We know that you can do anything, and that your grace is stronger than anything on earth. Worship you in faith, that you love us, that you are good to us, and that you are working all things for good for those who love you.